handsome grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak. Gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Oh yeah, that'll get you warmed up on a Tuesday. A little spiritual warfare from Kuik, who will be performing as part of the awesome Bach Rock Music Festival coming to Juno. Born in Juno, and will be here in Juno with tons of artists the third week of September. And you can find Kuik and many other musicians who will be part of that festival on the Alaska Music Playlist Project, which is just one of the many things that the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative does. The Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative is a diverse group of musicians, stakeholders, and partners from around the state working together to increase the stakes for Alaska musicians. It was born in 2017, and they do all kinds of things. And right now, they are running a survey as they look to find out more about the music scene in Alaska. And here to run it all down for us is Marion Call. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Boston. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Gunnith Cheese for being in the studio today, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, Studio 2K at KTOO. So I know we've had you on the show before, and we've talked a little bit about the Independent Musicians Initiative, but just give us an overview of it real quick so that people who are just tuning in for the first time and hearing about this for the first time know what this group is.
Sure. It's always a little bit of a head scratcher for Alaskans to hear about AKIMI because Alaska is a state that does not have a music office. And when I tell Alaskans that, they say, well, what's a music office?
We don't have a film office anymore either, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have arts councils and we have local arts agencies. Those are really, really crucial to the arts scene in Alaska. But we don't have a music office. And a lot of cities and states and even countries have a music office. The reason that they have a specific music office as opposed to the arts in general is that music behaves a little bit differently than the other arts. It also behaves differently than a private business, right? We're caught in this nether region in between, like, totally financially solvent and like needing grants to function, right? We kind of need both. And the economic rules that apply to musicians are kind of a hodgepodge and a mishmash. And they're really cool. They operate on their own logic. But that's why music kind of winds up getting cordoned off a little bit and given its own specific office, often a government office. You know, you go to Iceland, you go to Denmark, they have a government office dedicated to making music economies work for artists and for institutions and for communities, right? And here in Alaska, we don't have anything like that. So some years ago, some of us who have kind of been working in Alaska music for a long time from all around the state, we got together and kind of had collectively realized you play music here for 10, 15, 20 years, and you realize that it's not just about your career or your band or your town. There's these big structural things that affect you and all the other musicians, right? Like whether the venues can stay open, what the Arts Council is up to, and, you know, whether you can afford to tour around the state, how the Marine Highway's doing, what Alaska Airlines specials look like, right? All these things affect you as a musician if you're trying to just play or teach or travel. And that's what music offices do. They address all that stuff. They get artists together. They help keep their working conditions safe. They help make sure they get paid. They help make sure that they're eligible for grants or make pools of money to help them, like travel or get gear, you know? And that's what AKIMI is starting to do. We're starting from scratch.
Right.
We have some great support and some great supporters, but we're also kind of starting from scratch. So what AKIMI has done is go around and, like, we're going to sit and hang out with Music Iceland and go, hey, what did you guys do? And we're going to hang out with Music Portland and say, hey, what did you guys do, right? Portland is a city with a long, rich music history, but they didn't start really thinking of themselves as a music community or a music city until recently. And that was an effort. You know, they came together and said, we have an amazing music scene. We should be shouting about it. We should be working on it. And now Portland has Music Portland, which is an organization that works in Portland, connected to Music Oregon, too. And they have really elevated and organized the music scene there. So now they have cool stuff like, oh, there's a new music festival, or here's a music video film festival week. And, you know, stuff like that, that gets people working together, gets people paid, gets people out around the world. So that, you know, Portland has a reputation for good artists. And I'm looking at Portland and going, hey, they're friends of ours. And also, Alaskan artists are amazing and deserve to be heard. And even if and Alaska musicians who are doing everything else, even if they're not out, like, you know, doing the rock band thing, playing shows, going on tours, even if they're teaching lessons in their home, they deserve to be, you know, properly paid and properly acknowledged and supported. You know, if they're playing music for free down at the old time jam, if they're making beats in their bedroom, you know, whatever musicians are doing here, it deserves to be supported. So that's what we're working on.
Awesome. Is it difficult because of the size of Alaska and the distance between communities to stay connected?
Yep, sure is.
And this is,
that's the nature of being Alaskan, right?
Right, for sure. So it's part of, like, as you say, Music Portland, I mean, that's a town, right?
They can all get together.
It's a big town, but they can get together pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So part of the initiative is to stay connected. And one of the things I know I mentioned right at the opening there was the Alaska playlist project, which is you all put together some playlists. You can find them online, and they are highlighting and spotlighting different genres, all different sorts of musicians in different parts of the state. And you, as a musician, can also submit your songs for the playlist.
That's right. Yes, yeah. That's part of what we do. The Alaska Playlist Project, easy to find.
Yeah, just
AlaskaPlaylistProject.com. Yeah. We'll bring you to a bunch of Spotify playlists where you can find Alaskan artists that you've probably never heard of. You mentioned the geography, and the fact is Juneau very seldom knows who's playing in Fairbanks. Fairbanks doesn't know who's playing in Juneau. Neither of us know who's playing in Ketchikan. You know, when we musicians go out on tour and come back, we're like, oh my gosh, have you heard this band from Petersburg, Delgado? Or, oh my gosh, have you heard this kid from the Kenai who's playing guitar? You know, like we get to experience that sometimes, but the travel hurdle means that we don't always get to hear artists from everywhere. So that's why we started the Alaska Playlist Project.
Just one of the many things that the Akimi does.
Oh, and the one I'm here to talk about today is the Alaska Music Census, and I should have stuck to the script and mentioned that right at the top.
One of the things that you do, and this is a big one. This is a big one. It's been going on for a while. So tell us about what the intent of the survey is and how it's going so far. And I believe there's also people have a time limit, right? They have to get this in a certain amount of time. So give us the rundown on that.
You got it. The thing that I want you to do is go to AlaskaMusicCensus.com. And I do mean you, Boston.
I am doing it. I'm there. I'm on it right now.
AlaskaMusicCensus.com before Saturday, Saturday, September 2nd. It closes at midnight. This survey is really, really, really important. And we want everyone participating in music to participate. And any way that you participate in music, if you're a techie, even if you're just a fan, if you teach, if you play casually, if you just play once a year at Folk Fest or something, if you run mic stands around, if you perform for a whole bunch of money once a year, you know, like whatever you do, if you're at open mic, if you're hosting open mic, we want you to go to AlaskaMusicCensus.com. by September 2nd. The survey is anonymous. So there's a couple questions about money if you make money making music, but it's anonymous. And it is pretty short. It's between 5 and 12 minutes. It's like 12 minutes if you do everything in music, and it's closer to 4 or 5 if you're, for example, playing music but not earning any money doing it.
And like you said, this is for individuals. It's for people who teach music.
Yes.
It's for people who are hobbyists in music. It's people who, it's business. Is right who are
And it's for people who play music in a religious setting. If you play on a worship team, if you're a cantor, if you, you know, any setting that you make music in, that is part of what contributes to our culture. So we have some questions about the money, but we also have questions about the dedication and the hours and the place it holds in your life, because I resist the idea that the only value in music is in money.
Right.
I think that Juno is such great evidence of that. Like, music is what gets us through the winter here, right?
Yeah,
music
for sure.
Music is what makes it vital here. All kinds of music. I love seeing everything from, I mean, we got Gold Street concerts, these unplugged, gorgeous acoustic concerts. We got Folk Fest with all these people participating for free. I was down dancing my butt off at Colette Costa's High Costa Live-In show before the drive-in movie this week, all the tunes from The Big Lebowski.
Oh, my God. I saw some video of amazing. It. I didn't get to go, but I saw some video and it looked amazing.
It was incredible. And then I was at a metal show on Friday night at the Alaskan for Alex Kotler's new band, Bards of Mendenhall. They were incredible. It was just an amazing show. It was staggering. And then I see posters for like rap battles happening in town. And we have some amazing hip hop artists here. We have people Blue Nagoon making a kind of pop electronica tracks and working with singers. We have people composing original scores for Perseverance shows, right? We have people working at every level here in music, and that's what makes living in Juno worthwhile, right?
Absolutely.
And so if you do any of those things, you should go to alaskamusiccensus.com. Why we made this survey, not just like professional paid musicians, is because in Alaska, there is this discussion of, well, do you play for pay or do you not, right? And the answer for most of us is both, depending on what moment we're in, right? And understanding how much work goes into having a rich music culture and also what the value of that work is, right? That is really important to articulating our own value as workers, right? And the labor that we put in. It's worthwhile to find out, you know, for paid musicians, for people who do it for a living, like, what does that pay break down to per hour and per show? Because it is not much. And for folks who are not doing it, it's, you know, what is the value of this to you? For folks who are not earning money, what is the value of this to you? And that might tell us something about, for example, how we invest in music, right? How much we're willing to pay for music, how much business owners might invest in music spaces or in festivals, right?
Yeah, because it's like obvious with, you know, places like the Crystal Saloon, who are having music pretty much every weekend, but there might be, I love that you mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, sort of religious areas where yes. there could be people in a choir, they could be doing different things. And you're not necessarily getting paid for that, but it is music.
And, it's crucial, yeah.
And so I guess my question is, what is the intent? What will the data be used for?
The nice thing is that the data is being collected by musicians as part of a nonprofit. So the data is not owned by like a big company doing analysis on it. It belongs to us, the musicians. We are going to have a couple different groups analyze different pieces and parts of it, but we retain the ownership, which is really nice. So we're going to get some estimates of like the size of the music economy. We're going to get some estimates of like what COVID did, what closing our venues for a year did to music, right? And to musicians. That is really an interesting moment to study. And I don't want it to go by without looking and going, okay, so we just had a year without Folk Fest, without any Folk Fest, right? Mm. We had 2 years without a physical Folk Fest. How does that compare, right? Like we suddenly have a control for the experiment of Folk Fest, you know, the only time in 40 years we can look and go, okay, so what does Folk Fest do to our community? Mm. What did, like this year for the first time, what does Ock Rock do happening in person to our community? What is the impact of that? If someone was really thinking about that, might they not think, oh, this makes sense to invest in? There's a lot of small festivals and community fairs that I think people really underestimate. I mean, when you think of the Haines State Fair, when you think of like the Pelican Boardwalk Boogie, right? Like what kind of impact that has on a community that size? Chicken Stock up in Chicken, or Salmon Fest and Sacred Acre, which I think is coming to Nanilchik, right? Like what impact do those things have? And they're bigger than ever this year. I mean, except for, I mean, I hope Pelican comes back to us one day. I would love that. But all these other ones are seeing tremendous community interest to the point where they're selling out, where they're full. Right. And so why not invest in some running water in some of these spaces? You know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, so, and it's anonymous, which is great. And
it is.
So,
yeah.
So that's really good. But the data belongs to the musicians because it's going to this nonprofit org, Akimi. Mm-hmm. And is the idea that you will be able to, you know, like you just said, there's places that may need, you know, running water for this festival to happen, or, you know, more toilets to be,
you know, we
in
make
there.
Do. So I'm like impressed with how we've been making do so far. But and I don't mean to say that we should introduce commerce into every area of music. Some places it's best left out. But what I do mean to say is to like demonstrate that we deserve a space alongside the other attractions of Alaska. And when we're thinking of Alaskan culture, when we're thinking of the scope of what's happening here, including the economic scope, you know, like when London, for example, did their first kind of nightlife assessment, this was many years ago. One of the companies that has kind of helped us figure out how to do a music economy assessment is based in London. It's easy for powers that be to forget how much work happens after dark, right? Like they go home at 5 p.m. and they forget that a lot of us don't. A lot of us are out working all night to entertain people, right? And that entertainment and nightlife economy is a really big part of what makes a city tick. It's often unmeasured or undermeasured or only measured in terms of bars and restaurants, right? But we know that like theater and movies and music and dancing and like all of that happens and is really, really, really understudied. So,
most of the things you just mentioned all have music.
They
with
do.
Them.
They all rely on music. That's right.
Yeah.
So, and that's true. That's why we're doing this huge, big catch-all survey that includes everybody. So, like, we're inviting the theater companies to respond, mm-hmm. right? Even though music's not all they do, music's a piece of what they do, and so we're inviting them to respond as a theater company and say, "Hey, we're a music-related business. Music's maybe 30% of our budget or of our fundraising or our revenue. Maybe a shop downtown has First Friday musicians in every week or every month, right? That's only a tiny, tiny percentage of what they do, right? It's not a huge expense. It's not a huge commitment. But they know the difference between having a musician in and not. You know, what's the change in ambiance? What's the change in audience appeal? You know, it's a special occasion. I know that Nimi at Spice and the Chai Bar has really invested in having music in the restaurant. And that has been fantastic. Oh, my God. Having live music while
you eat. It's a hot new venue.
Well, it's the best place to...
Yeah. Just like chill and hear some music. And have some tea and a little food.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
it's such a great atmosphere. I was there the other night just hearing the, who was it? It was Ben Higdon, John Unzicker, and the Gypsy Jazz Trio that's playing there often now. And I think William Todd Hunt was in as a guest artist too, just like, God, the talent in town. Yeah. Like a space like that understands the value of having some musicians in, hiring some musicians for the night. And like, so we want to ask them, all right, tell us when you book musicians, tell us how much of your business that is. And we want to ask the musicians, you know, how much you gigging.
We're talking to Marian Call. We're talking about the Alaska Music Census, which you can find at alaskamusiccensus.com. It's the first step is to ask, right? The first step to understanding is to ask big questions right on the front page. How many of us are there? How big is the Alaska music scene? And I think this is a really important question. How do we impact our communities?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Such a big, big question. And sort of like you said, it's really hard to define that. And I think music can be taken for granted in a lot of ways. You show up, you hear music like you're talking about at Spice, mm-hmm. you just recognize that it's always going to be there, as opposed to like, oh, what do I actually need to know about that? So I know this survey is going through September 2nd, which is mm-hmm. this Saturday. You said you have till midnight on Saturday?
Midnight on Saturday. But do not procrastinate.
I'm putting
on my pledge drive voice. Do not procrastinate. Get down there now. If you can't remember, if you don't have time to do it now, there's a little email bracket right on the front page. Just throw in your email. I'm sending reminders about every 3 or 4 days to new people who sign up that reminds you, you know, hey, don't forget to do this.
And I just want to make sure that people know this is just, it's not for just necessarily gigging musicians. This is for anybody who's a musician. It's for a business who supports music in some way. If you have music in at all, if you're playing music even, like it would just be nice to know about that, like what your commitment or what your sort of investment in music is as a business and or as an individual. I think anybody could take that because the more data you have, the better picture you'll get, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're even if you're just an audience member or supportive audience member, like we want to hear from you because that still tells us like How did COVID closures affect your concert going experience? Are you going out as much as you used to? Are you going out more or less? How right. do you support music? What do you want to see in music here? Those are all things we can still ask whether or not you play. And that is still going to be really great data. We're working with the University of Alaska, ICER, the Institute for Social and Economic Research, on doing a little bit of analysis after this. We're hoping some grad students who are working in research might be interested in taking on some projects with specific subsets of these data, but the audience segment I'm really excited about.
Yeah, so that was going to be my question is like, what's the next step for this? Obviously compiling the data, and right. then what's the next step after that?
We identify specific questions that the data can answer. And we worked very, very hard on the questions and how to word them. We had musicians review it. We had audience members review it. We had data folks review it. We say, okay, here's, 100 questions we want to answer. And some of them we can just, do a little multiplication and figure it out. But other ones will require research. And those ones we're going to bring as we have funds available or as people have the availability to work on them with us to institutions, to, accredited and respected institutions that can do some analysis.
So, awesome.
In January, we have our Alaska Music Summit. We had it here in Juneau this year. Next year, it'll be in Anchorage, but it'll still be virtual so people can attend here. And we're going to present a lot of our findings then. I think it's going to be very interesting.
That's great.
And if you actually do the survey and answer the questions, I think people who do it, instead of coming to me being like, well, that was annoying, but I got it over with, they're coming to me and saying, that was really interesting. That made me think of a bunch of stuff I never thought of before. That was that like, whoa, I never put it in that framework. Or and to me, that is really a sign of success because maybe mostly other artists know this, but they say, you fill out a grant application that like half of it's for you to like interrogate yourself and learn about yourself and stuff. That's also part of this process is for musicians and music businesses and music appreciators to think about themselves in this context as part of this statewide whole, as part of this cultural whole, to remember that like I make music here in Juneau, but I am connected to folks in Tetitlik who are teaching traditional music. I'm connected to Athabascan fiddlers way out the road. I'm connected to Fairbanks hip hop artists. I'm connected to, people doing commercial music for radio breaks in Anchorage. I'm yeah. connected to all of these people. We are part of a music scene. We have things in common. And that is a mindset that I would really love to see continuing to develop in Alaska, because that's how we get more investment, more money for musicians to travel between towns, more money for teachers to travel between towns and do enrichment, and just more support in general for this part of our cultural life that is clearly so important to people here. Like we can see how much time and how much energy people devote to it in Juneau.
That's great. It's alaskamusiccensus.com. Mm-hmm. You have until Saturday. Get there now. Marion Call from the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative, which also has a website.
You can call us Akimi.
Akimi. Google that and you'll find it. And also alaskaplaylistproject.com is also a place where you can find tons of music by Alaskan artists.
I mean, that's great, but don't distract them. It's all about the census right now. alaskamusiccensus.com. That's where I want
fast.
You to go. alaskamusiccensus.com.
That's
it's really, really, I can't tell you how important it is. And it's going very well. I have to say, we're closing on 1,200 responses, which compared to other states is freaking awesome. And
that's
I want to keep that energy. Let's keep it going. I look at the results and I see like Metlakatla coming in and Sitka coming in and Esther coming in. And I'm so excited.
Go Alaska. Thanks, Marion. AlaskaMusicCensus.com. We'll go out with a little bit of Byron Nikolai,
yeah.
Who's also on the Alaska Playlist Project. Thanks, Marion. Gunath Cheesh.
Gunath Cheesh. Гэн ав юу токин сүут ми унуг ми багани ила буду лагуки явани апани гина шуги мюазе гэн сүут ми багани ила буду лагуки